and Tar Heel Station.
CBS News, I'm Frank Settapani. President Obama hits the road today, traveling to Boise, Idaho, to build support for the ideas he spoke about in his State of the Union address. CBS News team coverage of the speech begins with Pam Coulter on Capitol Hill.
President Obama challenged the GOP-led Congress to support free community college, paid sick leave, and higher taxes on the wealthy.
Middle-class economics works. Expanding opportunity works.
And he warned against trying to chip away at his health care law, Wall Street reform, or immigration changes.
If a bill comes to my desk that tries to do any of these things, I will veto it.
I'm Dan Raviv in Washington. During the speech, the Republican Party sent out tweets and emails countering many of the president's points. Afterward, potential candidates for the White House accused Mr. Obama of wanting to divide people by using the tax code, that was Jeb Bush's phrase, or as Mitt Romney puts it, forgetting the country just elected a Congress that favors smaller government and lower taxes.
I'm Barry Bagnato live in Washington. Which of the president's proposals have a realistic chance with Republicans? Fast-tracked trade deals with China and the European Union. Tax reform, perhaps.
Let's simplify the system and let a small business owner file based on her actual bank statement.
But the White House admits much of the speech was simply a conversation starter.
The flags have been planted by both sides. Now, can they negotiate and get anything done over the next 2 years?
One of our CBS News political experts, Steve Shigaris. Frank?
White House observers said the president seemed uncharacteristic. Characteristically relaxed last night. That air of confidence came through in some unscripted byplay between him and Republicans in the audience.
I have no more campaigns to run. My only agenda, I know because I won both of them.
In Boston, the heart surgeon who was shot outside a hospital examining room yesterday died late last night. WBZ-TV's Kate Merrill tells us about the gunman who killed Dr. Michael Davidson before taking his own life.
He is a well-known family man, very active in his church. They just can't believe the father of four walked in here, like police say, and gunned down that doctor.
Police aren't talking about a specific motive, but the Boston Herald says Davidson had operated on Stephen Passeri's mother, who died last November. Overseas, a knife-wielding Palestinian allegedly stabbed a Tel Aviv bus driver and eight passengers. Police spokesman Mickey Rosenfeld.
Special patrol units chased the suspect. He was shot in his leg and is now in police custody.
Pope Francis is trying to clarify his controversial comment that Catholics should not breed like rabbits. The Pope says economic injustice, not large families, is the real cause of poverty. The NFL is still looking into claims that the winning New England Patriots got an edge by using illegally underinflated balls in the AFC title game. It's not commenting on an ESPN report that 11 of the 12 game balls were illegal. S&P futures are down 3 points. This is CBS News.
I'm Murphy, a service tech at a Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center.
I need help.
They always do.
I'm overdue for an oil change.
No problem.
Tire rotation?
Got it.
Top off the fluid?
Yep.
Check the battery and filters?
Roger.
The sprocket lockets?
No such thing.
Seeing if you're listening.
I haven't stopped.
No, today's Saturday, and I don't have an appointment.
Now you do.
Cool.
Very cool.
No appointment necessary. Weekend hours and trained techs ready to give your car the works. Quick Lane is ready to serve. Visit quicklane.com.
Private mortgage insurance, or PMI, can cost you thousands. The Quicken Loans PMI Advantage is our lender-paid mortgage insurance program. You see, we pay the PMI so you don't have to. PMI Advantage can give you more options, more flexibility, and may save you thousands when you refinance. To learn more, call us at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit us at quickenloans.com.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License law 50 states and law number 3030.
The Walt Disney Company is trying to stem a measles outbreak traced to Disneyland and a second Anaheim theme park. CBS's Steve Futterman has the latest.
Disneyland says five of its employees have been diagnosed with measles. The theme park says it is now trying to track down other employees who may have been in contact with those five workers. Those who have been in contact are being asked to provide vaccination records or take a blood test to determine their immunity. The current measles outbreak has been traced to a number of people who visited Disneyland last month. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
British researchers say a simple and inexpensive blood test could help doctors diagnose more heart attacks in women. The heart attack diagnosis rate in women is roughly half that for men. The test still has to be validated through further research, but if it is, it could save lives by preventing fatal second heart attacks. Frank Settapani, CBS News.
Remember when a small business needed a landline? Today, the world is your office with Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. On the road, at the beach, or at home, Grasshopper helps you grow your business with all the features of a business phone system and the freedom of a cell phone. Features include multiple extensions for your team, calls forwarded to your mobile phones, voicemails transcribed and emailed, and so much more. See how it works at grasshopper.com, the entrepreneur's phone system.
Does a presentation with high-quality paper give you goosebumps? When you hear LaserJet printers printing, does it sound like a pastoral symphony? If so, you might be gear-centric, someone who knows that the right office gear helps you do great things. And at Office Depot and Office Max, we have the quality printing gear you need. Right now, get a 10-ream case of paper for only $24.99 and save even more in rewards. Office Depot and Office Max, gear up for great. Limit 2, offer ends 1/24.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
This morning on WCHL, UNC has submitted a response to its regional accrediting body following concerns raised during the independent investigation into academic irregularities at the university. Survival rates for those infected with HIV here in the South are the lowest across the nation. And a new report is out showing low-income workers in North Carolina are bearing a disproportionately high tax burden compared to top wage earners. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carver traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports this morning, the Carolina men's basketball team aims for its fourth ACC win in a row tonight. It won't be easy. The Tar Heels go to Winston-Salem to take on the Demon Deacons of Wake Forest. And
the Tar Heels hired Gene Chizik because they could afford him.
That's this morning in our Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
43 degrees, 707, the beginning of a nice day, not quite as warm as yesterday, maybe a few degrees cooler. We got up to 70 yesterday after all. It was unseasonable and unreasonable. Partly sunny today, chance of sprinkles this morning. Our high today about 58 degrees, still a rather nice day. UNC has submitted a response now to its regional accrediting body following concerns raised during the independent investigation into academic irregularities at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill campus. Dr. Bell Whelan is president of the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools Commission on Colleges. Here's Dr. Whelan.
They submitted the report to us. We're in the process of reviewing it to make sure that we don't need any additional information, and we will forward it to the board for its review at its June meeting.
Whelan says the decision will be made public as that board meeting wraps up.
They'll make some kind of decision, whether it's to defer it, whether it's to ask for additional information, whether it's to put them on warning or probation, or drop them from membership, but there will be some action taken on it.
That board meeting will be held June 8th through 11th. SACS, otherwise known as SACS, requested information from UNC in November of last year regarding compliance with various accreditation standards, and the university submitted its report detailing how it is dealing with the issues that were raised in the Weinstein report on January 12th. UNC is a founding member of SACS and completed a review with the organization in June of last year before new information came to light during the independent investigation. You can view the 200-plus page report submitted by UNC through a link at our website, chapelborough.com. There's a new report out showing that low-income workers here in North Carolina are bearing a disproportionately high tax burden compared to top wage earners. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more details.
The poorest 20% of North Carolina earners pay more than 40% more in taxes as a share of their income than the richest 1%. That's according to the recent Who Pays study released by the Institute of Taxation and Economic Policy and the Budget and Tax Center, a project of the North Carolina Justice Center. The study finds that North Carolinians earning less than $18,000 a year pay 9.2% of their income in taxes, compared to 5.3% for those earning more than $376,000 a year. ITEP ranks North Carolina as the 31st most unfair state for tax policy. Cedric Johnson, a public policy analyst with the Budget and Tax Center, told WCHL that tax policies in North Carolina are basically upside down. That's because North Carolina relies a lot on sales tax to raise revenue, and a flat personal income tax isn't levied on the basis of the ability to pay.
When looking at that 31st ranking, one could rest on the laurels and say, yeah, well, we're towards the middle. But when you look at how that actually plays out into the lives and the pocketbooks of North Carolinians, you know, one has to be concerned with the reality that we have a tax system here in the state that's asking those with the least to contribute a larger share of their income towards public investments that we all depend on and value here in the state.
Representative Verla Insko, a Democrat who represents the 56th District in the North Carolina General Assembly, said that a lot of top earners may not even be aware of this huge disparity, since they already do pay a lot in taxes as top earners.
Poor people are paying for our police and for our inspection of our restaurants and all kinds of things that are part of just ordinary government. We have to have that conversation at some point about what's a fair way to support essential government services.
ITEP predicts that if North Carolina and many other states continue down this road, it will make it harder and harder to raise revenues. The study recommends relief for lower income taxpayers, such as the Earned Income Tax Credit, Renter's Credit, and a Child Tax Credit. You can read more about this on our website, chapelboro.com. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
There has been a lot of conversation in Carrboro lately about a new development proposal. Two former Carrboro mayors urged the Board of Aldermen last night to support a proposal to build a four-story building downtown for the Arts Center and Kids Zoo in a deal that would include a second hotel at 300 East Main Street. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
Former Carrboro Mayor Mark Chilton, now the Orange County Register of Deeds, said he had been watching the public hearing at home before rushing over to Town Hall to speak just before the end of tonight's public hearing.
I've heard a lot of great questions raised tonight about this project, and I think there are questions that the folks who are proponents of the project need to address. But I also think that this is a really significant opportunity for downtown Carrboro, and that opportunities like this, while they will come again, there will be another time down the road when we'll have an opportunity to consider a major new art center, that they don't come very often.
The partnership of nonprofits, the Art Center and Kidzu Children's Museum, is asking the town to construct a four-story, 55,000-square-foot arts and innovation center at the corner of Main and Roberson Streets on a former parking lot across from the Armadillo Grill. The estimated cost of the project is $13 million. Here's architect Phil Shostak, who serves on the board of the Carrboro Art Center.
We want to raise $7.5 million and gift it to the town in order to build this building. And we would do that before anything else happens, before the town spends any money. And then we were asking the town and other public entities that may be involved to contribute the other $7.5 million over the next 25 years.
In return for Main Street Properties donating the land to the town, the Art Center would swap its building at 300 East Main, allowing the Hampton Inn to build a second hotel there. The proposal has stirred a lot of public interest, so much so that people were spilling out into the hallway in the media room of Town Hall on Tuesday night. 60 people signed up to speak, and many of those didn't get a chance. Some speakers were enthusiastic about the plan. Here's Betsy Bertram, general manager of Townsend Bertram & Company Adventure Outfitters.
I can't think of anything better for Carrboro's future. As a young person living in Carrboro, I often drive over to Durham for shows, for classes, for cultural opportunities, and I want to be able to stay right here in Carrboro.
Others were opposed outright. They said that the town should make affordable housing or infrastructure issues a higher priority. Some said the project would change the very nature of Carrboro that made them want to settle there in the first place. Several speakers said they wanted the proposed 16-month deadline for a decision extended for the sake of further study. Here's Brad Bonneville, owner of Bonneville Electric.
I think that we need to proceed with caution. This is a risky venture.
Part of the risk that made some speakers uneasy was the promise of tax revenue generated by the new hotel to help fund the center, thus eliminating the need for any new burden to Carrboro taxpayers. And there were a lot of concerns expressed about parking. Nathan Million, manager of Carmill Mall, is no stranger to controversy regarding the subject of Carrboro parking. He offered this opinion on Tuesday night.
Any consideration of this project should be put on hold until after the completion of the proposed parking study.
Former Carrboro Mayor Ellie Kinnaird, who more recently retired from her subsequent job as a state senator, shot down parking concerns in her full-throated endorsement of the project. She said there's plenty of parking in the parking garage at Hampton Inn, and that the new hotel will provide even more. She also had an answer for those who questioned the occupancy rate of the existing hotel in the context of whether the town could support another one.
The Hampton Inn is 95% occupancy, and whenever I go in there, I ask them how they're doing, and they are flourishing.
There was some strong support expressed for Frank Heath, owner of the legendary music club, The Cat's Cradle, a fixture at 300 East Main for several years. Here's Orange County Commissioner Mark Dorson, a former Carrboro Alderperson.
The Cat's Cradle, as you know, has brought in the time it's been in Carrboro, hundreds of thousands of dollars in tax revenue. It has also made an immeasurable impact on other businesses in the community. Ask any restaurant or bar owner about what happens to their revenues when there's a good show at the Cradle. The Cradle has become, through its national reputation, as I said, identified as the soul of Carrboro.
Some speakers said they wanted assurances that the club would be protected from getting squeezed out. Heath was there for part of the meeting but didn't sign up to speak. Alderperson Randy Haven O'Donnell said she hopes that Heath shares his views on the CAIC proposal when the hearing is continued on February 3rd. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Survival rates for those infected with HIV in the South are the lowest in the country. That story coming up next on WCHL. It's 7:16. It's time now for traffic and weather together. And traffic this morning is brought to you by the Orange County Agricultural Summit. Now with your traffic report, here is the inimitable Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. Looking pretty good out there so far. We've only got some busy spots out there. 54 eastbound still in good shape as you make your way from Fordham Boulevard to 40. 40 eastbound also a delay-free trip towards RTP from 15501 to the Durham Freeway, and no problems on the Durham Freeway in either direction between 40 and downtown Durham. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
All right. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
It's like everything's going okay. And
so far?
Don't have any problems out there this morning so far.
That's true.
So, knock on wood.
Yeah, that's and you're listening. It's you put on your ears this morning.
Just banged on the side of my head. So,
it's what holds your glasses up, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's about the only thing it does sometimes. We'll talk to you again in just a few minutes here. Uh-huh. This traffic report brought to you by the Orange County Agricultural Summit. You may be saying to yourself, what is that? Well, the 17th annual Orange County Agricultural Summit will be held February 16th. 2 days after Valentine's Day from 8 a.m. until 1 p.m. It's a five-hour event. To register, visit orangecountync.gov and check it out. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather brought to you by Glass Half Full. It looks like this, 43 degrees, partly sunny, chance of sprinkles this morning. High today about 58 degrees, not as warm as yesterday. Yesterday, we were all the way up to 71 degrees, believe it or not. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the middle 30s, and then tomorrow, partly sunny with a high of about 50 degrees. Again, today, we'll get up to about 58 degrees, which is a pretty darn nice day. Glass Half Full is a friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right in the heart of downtown Carrboro. Go online at glasshalffullcarrboro.com to find out more. Good food, good wine, and lots of fun, too.
Our name is WCHL. Our dial position is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM. Our station website is chapelboro.com, where you can listen anywhere in the world with live streaming. This is Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. 97.9 FM, 1360 AM, WCHL.
WCHL news time is 7:18. Survival rates for those infected with HIV here in the South are the lowest in the country. WCHL's Blake Hodge has the details on a new study.
Nine southern states, including North Carolina, are hit disproportionately hard by HIV and AIDS, according to new research out of Duke University. The study found that 15% of those diagnosed with HIV and 27% of those diagnosed with AIDS had died within 5 years of their diagnosis, based on numbers from 2003 and 2004. Lee Storrow is the executive director of the North Carolina AIDS Action Network, and he says that the disease has grown beyond its initial profile of mainly affecting young to middle-aged white gay men.
Unfortunately, we have really seen this disease evolve over the last 20 years and are seeing a new focus and new outbreaks amongst poorer residents of this country and a concentration of new epidemics in the South.
Storrow adds that many factors play into the increased HIV rates and the lower survival rate associated with the disease, particularly in our region.
When you look at poverty rates in the Deep South, when you look at lower levels of education, and you look at the social stigma associated with being gay and having HIV, I think all of those are factors that are contributing to increased rates of HIV in the South and increased death rates.
Storrow says that the stigma associated with the disease is a major obstacle in battling its treatment.
For folks who are not identified as gay or aren't men who are sleeping with men, there's definitely a stigma sometimes in certain communities associated with being HIV positive, because there's an assumption that that means that you're gay.
He says that while sexual contact is the main form of transmission, the disease can also be passed by sharing needles, among other avenues. Unfortunately, Storrow says that our social environment can be deadly for those who are HIV positive.
That stigma is something that means that people don't share their medical conditions, they don't receive testing, and there's a number of people who have received testing and might know that they're HIV positive, but aren't actually in care to receive the treatment that they need.
He adds that battling the stigma is difficult on several layers, including not being able to legislate against a social stigma as you can with other more overt obstacles. Of what can be controlled, access is a major theme for treatment, according to Storrow.
One thing we know is that if you have access to housing, to stable, consistent, safe housing, your ability to access medical care significantly increases.
And access to steady, affordable medical care can then translate to more effective treatment of the disease. Storrow says that the biggest way state legislators can help in the fight against HIV is by expanding Medicaid to assist those in need of medical attention. He adds that it will take teamwork between lawmakers, everyone in our community, and beyond to fight back against HIV and AIDS. Blake Hodge, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
A sad note to report this morning. Chapel Hill business legend Milton Julian passed away on Saturday, January 17th. This past Saturday, Milton Julian was 96. He graduated from Carolina in 1941 and served in World War II before coming back home and opening Milton's Clothing Cupboard on West Franklin Street in 1948. Actually, it was on East Franklin Street, one of several stores operated by the famous Julian family. It was in the 100 block of East Franklin Street. Milton's eventually expanded to six locations across the Southeast at one time, and in 2013, Milton Julian was named a town treasure by the Chapel Hill Historical Society. Milton Julian is survived by six of his seven children, as well as 10 grandchildren and six great-grandchildren. Our condolences to the friends and family of Milton Julian. Milton Julian dead at the age of 96. It is 7:22 at WCHL. Time now for championship sports. Number 15-ranked North Carolina men's basketball team is 14-4 on the season, 4-1 in conference play. They've won three straight in the ACC, and they hope to make that four tonight. Tar Heels go on the road to play Wake Forest in Winston-Salem. Matt Oaks has a preview.
The Tar Heel Road Warriors will be searching for a 3-0 start in ACC enemy territory for the first time since the 2007-2008 season. That year, Carolina burst out to an 8-0 league road record. UNC head coach Roy Williams' teams have historically been strong in hostile environments, sporting a 60-32 ACC road record in 12 seasons under the Hall of Famer. But for the Carolina skipper, there's a lot to work on with this year's squad. For starters, Coach Williams says the Tar Heels need to play more consistent defensively and make better use of their size advantage to get to the foul line with physical play in the paint.
We got to get a heck of a lot better on the defensive end of the floor. We knew they were going to shoot a lot of threes. They shoot 29, but we shoot 16, shoot 13 in the first half. If you look at the stat sheet in the first half, we shoot 13 threes. And we're going to shoot zero free throws, and that's not the way a North Carolina team is supposed to play.
In an encouraging sign for Carolina, the freshmen appear to be making strides. Freshman Justin Jackson led UNC in scoring with 16 points last time out, but Jackson says the Tar Heels need to do a better job dictating the pace, which in signature Roy Williams style means turning the game into a track meet.
We love to run. We have so many athletic guys that can get out on wings and run. And whenever we have to just score in the half court and get slowed down, it definitely can kind of get to you.
UNC will need to keep an eye on Wake Forest junior big man Devin Thomas, who's averaging 12.9 points and 9.7 rebounds per game. The battle on the board should be something to watch for in this contest. The Deacons can hold their own in the rebounding department, ranking 15th in the nation, while the Tar Heels check in at number 2 with 44.3 rebounds per contest. But the team's energy level is what sophomore forward Isaiah Hicks is choosing to focus on, if nothing else, because the coaching staff gets pretty angry with any sort of lethargy.
It took us a while to get into it. I know that's what really pisses the coaches off. You know, that's what we struggled with last year, you know, coming out with energies, like playing from the beginning. You know, that's something that we have to do every game, no matter what.
The Deacs should be rested and raring to go with over a week of practice time since their last call to action, a heartbreaking overtime loss at Syracuse. On the other hand, the Tar Heels should be motivated to produce a much cleaner performance following a sloppy turnover-filled battle with Virginia Tech that had Coach Williams none too pleased.
I don't think we're a stupid team, but every team plays stupid sometimes.
UNC leads the all-time series with Wake Forest 156-66, but the Demon Deacons surprised the Tar Heels just last year with a 73-67 victory in the comfy confines of Joel Coliseum, always a tricky place to play. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Of course, WCHL will have complete coverage of tonight's game with Aaron Keck and the UNC Healthcare Countdown to Tip-Off presented by Stanley Martin Homes tonight right here on WCHL, Carolina versus Wake Forest. Always exciting. You know, the Deacons are going to be playing their best, no question. Tar Heels have to be up for it, too. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Rod Stutz.
Archansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
The Tar Heels hired Gene Chizik because they could afford him. This is Archansky with Wednesday Sports Notebook. Carolina faced a bit of a dilemma in trying to replace Vic Koning as defensive coordinator on Larry Fedora's staff. Last season, during which UNC had one of the worst defenses in college football, ended on two sour notes and losses to NC State and Rutgers in the Quick Lane Bowl. The fan base was depressed and Fedora had to make a change. It was no surprise when Koning was let go. But who would replace him and try to help a defense, which frankly couldn't have been much worse, get better in 2015? Fedora not only needed a proven defensive coordinator, he needed something to infuse the alumni and fan base during the long offseason. Turns out the Tar Heels talked to as many as seven candidates, from former Florida head coach Will Muschamp to Muschamp's D.C. with the Gators, D.J. Durkin, to Barry Odom of Memphis, to Dave Gibbs of Houston, to John Chavis of LSU, to Kevin Steele of Alabama. Those names may mean as little to you as they did me, but they all have one thing in common now. Each landed a defensive coordinator job from the SEC to the Big 12 to the Big 10 for a salary package of at least $1 million a year. Koning's state salary at UNC was $258,000, so you know Carolina was not going to pay four times that amount to replace him. Chizik had a good reputation as a DC before it was overshadowed by his 2010 Auburn team winning the national championship and all kinds of allegations swirling around the Tigers program during his four-year tenure. UNC claimed it vetted, scrubbed, and investigated Chizik and found him clean of any NCAA infractions. So was Butch Davis, John Blake, and John Calipari, by the way. And the school wound up giving him a three-year contract for an annual salary package of $691,000, more than twice what Koning made. Still, for a name like Chizik, who has indeed excited much of the fan base, that's a bargain price in today's world of college football. In the end, Carolina used the Butch Davis formula to find its man. Hire the biggest name among high-profile unemployed coaches and pay what it takes to get him back in the game. We'll see over the next 3 years whether that price was worth it. This is our chance. See ya.
WCHL Championship Sports brought to you by AT&T Wireless.
The rugged Samsung Galaxy S5 Active, exclusively from AT&T, stands up to most everything. Falls into the shallow end? No problem. Falls into a mud puddle? A-OK. Falls into a deep fryer? That's a no-no. Drop it in a mop bucket. Fine. Drop it in the chili con queso. No problemo. Drop it in a garbage disposal. Yeah, that's a problem. Rain shower. No biggie. Meteor shower? That would be a no.
AT&T, mobilizing your world. Make the most of this school year and get the Samsung Galaxy S5 Active for zero down with AT&T Next. Exclusive to AT&T, the Galaxy S5 Active is engineered for your active lifestyle. Visit att.com or store for details.
Device meets military standards for watering shock resistance, submersible to 3 feet for 30 minutes, rinse residue shock resistant for drops or falls less than 4 feet on flat surface. AT&T Next requires qualified installment agreement, credit, and wireless service. Taxes, other charges, and restrictions apply.
Like having access to cash? Whether you need funds as a safety net or additional dollars for special purchases. At Bank of North Carolina, we're always here to help. For more information, stop by any of our locations in Chapel Hill and the Triangle. Bank of North Carolina. Delivering more than you expect starts with me. This is Rick Calico, President and CEO. Subject to credit approval, member FDIC.
Hello, this is Tony Hall, real estate broker at Tony Hall & Associates. With the busy spring market just around the corner, it's time to think about getting your house ready for sale and selecting a realtor to sell it. Let my 29 years of home selling experience benefit you. Call today at 919-933-8500 or see us online at TonyHallAssociates.com. At Tony Hall & Associates, we don't just list houses, we sell them.
Time now for your Chapel Hill Carborough weather, brought to you this morning by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. It is 43 degrees in Chapel Hill. Not going to be as warm today as it was yesterday. I mean, for heaven's sake, we got up to 71 degrees yesterday. So it's kind of crazy. But partly sunny today. A slight chance of a little shower activity. Our high today, about 58 degrees tonight. Partly cloudy with a low of 35. And then tomorrow, partly sunny with a high of about 50 degrees. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Fuel up every morning with Cruisers Fresh Brewed Beans Cafe Coffee, cappuccino, and hot chocolate. Make it your way every day. Guaranteed to taste great. At Cruisers, good to go.
Chapelboro.com is more of what you live here for. If it's happening where you live, you can find it on 97.9 FM. WCHL's website, Chapelboro.com.
That 11 million jobs have been created during the past 5 years.
The verdict is clear. Middle class economics works.
President Obama in last night's State of the Union speech. On CBS This Morning, Vice President Joe Biden.
What caused the recovery were the programs that, in fact, we put in place. And all the president's saying is, don't stop the momentum now.
President Obama flies to Idaho today to further explain his plans that were outlined last night. In the Republican response, Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa said the Keystone Pipeline plan should be passed.
President Obama will soon have a decision to make. Will he sign the bill or block good American jobs?
And she said GOP lawmakers have this on the agenda.
We'll also keep fighting to repeal and replace a health care law that's hurt so many hardworking families.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
42 degrees, 732, WCHL. At the beginning of a pretty good day here, I'm Ron Stutz. The long session of the North Carolina legislature is preparing to start working after being sworn in officially last week. Yesterday, WCHL's Aaron Keck had an opportunity to speak with Greg Meyer, who's beginning his first full term representing District 50, which includes much of Orange County in the North Carolina House.
Tell us about your expectations for this coming session of the General Assembly. You're a Democrat. You're in very much the minority. What do you expect to see coming into the GA this year?
In the big picture, we're going to see more of the same. Mm-hmm. We know that there's not going to be a significant change in the direction of the legislature because there wasn't a significant change in the makeup of the legislature. The Senate has the upper hand right now with veteran leadership and established priorities, and Senator Phil Berger has said since the election, probably several times, he said that we take the election as a referendum on our job, and people think we're doing a good job, and we're going to keep going down that path.
So I'm looking at, and there's a whole bunch of different possible issues that the GA could be dealing with this year, and I just jotted down a list of, have this list in front of me, budget, Medicaid, teachers, schools, voting, redistricting, and I've got this list of the Civitas Association's top five legislative priorities, which are denying expansion of Medicaid, cutting the state budget by a little bit, school choice, fighting EPA rules, and additional voting restrictions, proof of citizenship to register. And there are others that we could list as possible priorities for the GA this year. What do you expect to be the first things that the GA deals with?
Well, there probably will be, given the history of the last few years, there'll probably be a couple things right out of the box that'll be conservative initiatives that they'll try and just move quickly on. I don't know what those are going to be. But I would say that in the bigger picture, the beginning of the legislative session is going to be all about revenues. Mm-hmm. Everybody is talking about things that they want to spend money on, but after last year's budget closed out, we knew pretty quickly that we'd be in a hole coming into this year's budget. So we're already $200 million in the hole. And the question will be, do we have to figure out a way to close that? Or are we going to continue to reduce tax burdens, which, certainly the stated goal of the Senate has been to eliminate the personal income tax. Mm-hmm. And there's not really a clear plan on how to make up for that revenue to be able to spend on things like teacher pay raises.
Is there any talk at all amongst people in the GA and really Republicans in particular, because Democrats have been talking about this throughout, but sort of the argument that has been taking place between Democrats and Republicans is how to balance the budget. Is it a balanced approach where you increase revenue and decrease spending, or focus on the revenue side, or just straight up decrease spending and either cut revenue or leave revenue flat? Is there any movement at all on the part of Republicans about ways to increase revenue, even if it's not tax related?
There are some pragmatic Republicans, particularly in the House, who are really interested in trying to think about economic development. Mm-hmm. And are serious about making sure that the state maintains its obligations to things like public schools. But they know that even those pragmatic Republicans know that they have a battle within their party, and certainly a battle across chambers, because the Senate hasn't been too kindly to those things. So there's a lot of talk right now, for instance, about economic development incentives, about the funds that we use to draw in large businesses, which might help increase our tax base, mm-hmm. Those types of things. But there's not a huge willingness to go very far down that path. And then there's very few ideas of ways to increase revenues besides raising the sales tax. And I just don't see how the numbers add up if you want to decrease the income tax and raise the sales tax. First of all, I think we end up on the short end of revenue. We end up in the hole. But even more importantly to me, when you make those two exchanges, you end up with poor people paying a lot larger percentage of the tax burden.
We're speaking with Greg Meyer, state legislator, who is starting your first full term in the state legislature. What are your priorities in thinking about Democrats in general? And, you know, Verla Insko, fellow state representative from Orange County, Valerie Fruscii in the state Senate. What are your priorities, and what are you going to try to do in the coming term to affect policy? It's going to be difficult for Democrats.
Well, I'm an education guy, so I've spent most of the time in between last year's session and this year's session trying to build relationships with some of the Republicans that are leading on education issues and find areas where we'll have some common ground. There are certainly some areas where we don't have common ground, but there are some things that where I think we can either make some decisions that really aren't partisan that will help schools be stronger, or we can look at some of the education decisions that I think have been bad over the last few years and figure out how to mitigate some of the impact of those. So, for instance, all schools are going to have a new report card that's going to grade your school on A through F. Mm-hmm. And a lot of schools in North Carolina are going to fail. And the criteria that are used for those scores are basically just standardized test scores. Mm-hmm. I don't like that system the way it is, because it's just going to come across as punitive to schools that have a lot of difficult kids. But there are some models around the country, and we may be able to work on something in North Carolina that changes that, so that it's a more nuanced model for figuring out this is how the school gets the grade. And it incentivizes schools to do the things that we know will help kids, rather than just punishing schools who are struggling.
Are you optimistic?
I'm probably unreasonably optimistic.
Okay.
Because I found a good handful of Republican colleagues who, when we sit down and we look at pragmatics of what's really going to be good for schools, for kids, for making sure we have good connections between our K-12 education and our higher education and the economy, that they do want to work on those things. But it's a challenge to get even a great idea through the legislature.
That is State Representative Greg Meyer of Chapel Hill speaking with WCHL's Aaron Keck. North Carolina Republicans outraised and outspent Democratic counterparts in the political money chase leading up to last November's election. Campaign reports filed this month with the State Board of Elections show the state Republican Party spending nearly $9.4 million in the 2 years ending December 31st, compared to about $5 million by the state Democratic Party. Democrats did get help to narrow the gap. A pair of independent expenditure groups targeting Republican incumbents at the General Assembly with ads and mailers spent at least $2.8 million more. Three targeted GOP lawmakers lost
Republicans still control the legislature, of course. State Democratic Party Chair Randy Voller at Pittsburgh said more party candidates could have benefited if some of the independent expenditure money had been given to the party. A spokesman for the groups declined to comment. And in news around town this morning, more restaurants are coming to downtown Chapel Hill and Carrboro, and more restaurants are closing their doors as well. The Orange County Visitors Bureau reports that Monterey Mexican Restaurant in Chapel Hill will be opening up a second location in Carrboro at Carrboro Plaza out on Highway 54 West. Meanwhile, there are three new eateries still in the works at the 300 East Main Street development on the other side of Carrboro. Tom Chi, The Shop Bar and Meatball Kitchen, and Calaveta Empanada and Tequila Bar.
You had me at Meatball.
I'm there. I'm at Tequila, yeah. Plus, a new brewery yesteryear's also in the 300 East Main development in the old Fleet Feet spot. Meanwhile, here in Chapel Hill, Mediterranean Deli owner Jamil Kadora has expanded, opening a Mediterranean market right next door in the space that was formerly occupied by Time After Time. Time After Time. The market opened on January 2nd. As new places move in, of course, others move out. The Caribou Coffee on Franklin Street downtown just shut its doors after 18 years.
That's shocking.
That's
to me.
Hard to believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's the one downtown, in the heart of downtown, kind of across the street from University Square there,
mm-hmm.
or
yeah.
University Baptist Church.
Right.
Top This, Roast Beef Burgers and More, just down the street, 161 East Franklin Street, had not been around nearly that long, but they closed their doors as well. So just a few of the news around town happenings. And you can get all our news around town stories on our website at chapelboro.com. Go there and click on the news around town link. 741, I'm Rod Stutz on WCHL with Nikki Morse. And Nikki, tell us, please, oh, Sage, tell us what's happening on our website, chapelboro.com.
Well, we've got a great article from D.G. Martin about leaving proudly but not with enthusiasm. He's talking about Tom Ross leaving the UNC system presidency. So it's a pretty lengthy article, and he goes in depth that it's pretty interesting. So check that out. And if you missed any of the Martin Luther King Jr. festivities, we got several articles still on our website to peruse at your leisure to make you feel like you were there, plus pictures as well. Susan Murray was down there at the march at Peace and Justice Plaza. So great pictures there. Also, and you can read about the game coming up tonight between UNC and Wake Forest from Matt Oakes. And Susan Murray was at the Deep Dish Gala, which we were talking to
Kit Fitzsimmons.
Yeah, we were talking to him Saturday about this. And
they do a lot of interesting things over there.
Yeah, they had a silent auction and hors d'oeuvres and all kinds of stuff. And Susan Murray was there like she is at every event and took plenty of pictures.
She's everywhere. We found a way to clone her a couple of years ago. And she's everywhere. You know, there's only one of her, really, but we cloned her, the original. And that's how she's able to get around to all these things.
True. I think I saw two of her running around here the other day.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome. She probably gets more compliments than anybody else on the radio here.
That's because she looks better than the rest of us.
True that. But, you know, seriously, we all say good things about Susan Murray. Yeah, what's not to like? Anyway, our commentary today is, you remember when James Taylor was in France, and he went over there and he sang You Got a Friend?
Oh, yeah.
He was sent over there with John Kerry.
That's true.
The president sent him over there. And at any rate, Alan Colton has a few words to say about that.
Oh.
That's coming up.
Interesting.
WCHL. Shower the people you love with love. We have that coming up next on WCHL. We'll take a look at your traffic and weather together. We have all the usual stuff this morning. Wayne Pond's Word of the Day from the inimitable Nikki Morse will have the clean joke of the day. The amazing Wayne Pond will have the word of the day. And today's WCHL hometown hero, a community organizer, civil rights leader, you name it. His name is Reverend Robert Campbell. That is on the way coming up between now and 8 o'clock.
Things aren't the same as they were when GEICO started saving people money over 75 years ago. We didn't have reality TV. Back then, it was just reality. The most exciting thing that ever happened was when Jimmy got his head stuck in a gopher hole. And trust me, that's not a show anyone would binge watch. Yep, we didn't have much entertainment, but switching our car insurance to GEICO was pretty exciting.
GEICO, saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. Leonardo da Vinci, the Mona Lisa, she's a great success. But how did you get her to smile like that?
Oh, Michelangelo, it's obvious. I sent her to the Breadmans.
Breadmans on Rosemary Street?
Sure. They've got the great food with breakfast all day and low prices. You can't go in there and not come out smiling.
Yes, I better head to Breadmans today.
Today?
Yeah, they got me painting this ceiling for the next 4 years.
Oh, bummer.
Breadman's Restaurant, a Chapel Hill tradition.
What, you think we only like a pizza?
Crown Honda of South Point is starting off the year right with a resolution to reduce inventory. We'll do whatever it takes to make you a great deal during our inventory reduction sale. Get a new 2015 Honda Pilot for just $320 a month with zero due at signing. Or drive a new 2015 Honda Accord for only $199 a month. Our loss is your gain during the inventory reduction sale. Now at Crown Honda of South Point on South Point Auto Park Boulevard and SouthPointHonda.com. Subject to credit approval. Excludes taxes, tags, and fees. See dealer for complete lease details.
Stanley Martin Homes is proud to present their new model home open now in Winmore, a classic village of new homes just off Homestead Road in Chapel Hill. Stanley Martin's three home designs, priced from the 370s, combine the best in energy efficiency and beautiful design, and Winmore is right on the UNC bus route. For kids, there's a pool and playground, and Sewell Elementary and Chapel Hill High School are in the walk zone. There's conservation woodland space and walking and jogging trails for the whole family to enjoy. Come visit Stanley Martin Homes at Winmore, or go to stanleymartin.com.
Hello, this is Eric Montross, and you're listening to the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
Well, thank you, Eric. You're a guy I always will look up to, and I mean that in more ways than the obvious one. It's 7:46. We have 43 degrees right now in Chapel Hill, 42 in Carborough, where it's always a degree cooler.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Alan Colton. The reason I think President Obama did not go to Paris is because he knew he wouldn't stand out in a crowd of over 4 million French lemmings. So a week late and a dollar short, he sent his own French lemming, Secretary of State John Kerry, with none other than James Taylor in tow, to sing his 1971 hit, You've Got a Friend. The problem, I think, was that the French didn't seem to remember who JT was. But to be fair, in the last half century, the French have also forgotten Cat Stevens, Gordon Lightfoot, and John Denver. I mean, it's not really the fault of the French. Just because you're famous in Chapel Hill doesn't mean you're famous in Paris. But rock stars and folk singers can be arrogant, you know? You're So Vain. I like that song. And there's a reason why we enjoyed watching John Belushi smash the guitar in Animal House. Folkies can be a little annoying sometimes. John Kerry should probably have gotten the Rolling Stones to sing Gimme Shelter, a dark song full of dread and foreboding, or maybe even Bob Dylan singing All Along the Watchtower, another dark and apocalyptic song. Or maybe Creedence Clearwater Revival singing Bad Moon Rising, I See Trouble on the Way. I don't mind James Taylor. I think that Geese in Flight and Dogs That Bite, it's pure poetry. But You've Got a Friend? It doesn't rise to the occasion. The song sounds a bit like someone trying to help a girlfriend through drug rehab. It's not heavy enough for helping an entire nation deal with terrorism. And anyway, James Taylor used to campaign a lot for Obama. And what did Obama do? He let all the bad guys out of Gitmo. Well, when you've got a friend like that, who needs enemies? This is Alan Colton.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
On February 1st, the day of the big game, we all know what to expect. Great football, top commercials, and amazing food. But are you ready to feed your game day crowd? Complete your party with Wings Over Chapel Hill, with 23 flavors of hand-battered wings to choose from, along with ribs, sandwiches, wraps, and fries. Wings Over Chapel Hill provides the perfect choice for your game day spread. Be sure to pre-order wings now so you'll have them ready at kickoff. Give them a call or visit wingsoverchapelhill.com to get your order in for the big game. It's always a good time for Wings Over Chapel Hill.
The rugged Samsung Galaxy S5 Active, exclusively from AT&T, stands up to most everything. Falls into the shallow end? No problem. Falls into a mud puddle? A-OK. Falls into a deep fryer? That's a no-no. Drop it in a mop bucket? Fine. Drop it in the chili con queso? No problemo. Drop it in a garbage disposal? Yeah, that's a problem. Rain shower? No biggie. Meteor shower? That would be a... No.
AT&T, mobilizing your world. Make the most of this school year and get the Samsung Galaxy S5 Active for zero down with AT&T Next. Exclusive to AT&T, the Galaxy S5 Active is engineered for your active lifestyle. Visit att.com or store for details.
Device meets military standards for watering shock resistance, submersible to 3 feet for 30 minutes, rinse residue shock resistant for drops or falls less than 4 feet on flat surface. AT&T Next requires qualified installment agreement, credit, and wireless service. Taxes, other charges, and restrictions apply.
The job market can be tough. It's time to show the business world that you're tougher. Durham Tech can help you build your resume with skills designed for the global economy. You'll learn what works in areas from healthcare, computer science, and foreign languages to biotechnology, construction, and real estate. Classes are taught throughout Durham and Orange counties, many in the evenings and on weekends. Visit durhamtech.edu to learn more and get ready to do great things.
Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocate is a comprehensive support program for students in the Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools. If you enjoy reading, going on walks, baking, or playing basketball with a child, then Blue Ribbon is the perfect opportunity for you. We're looking for volunteers to serve 2 hours a week for a minimum of 2 years. Contact Granville Johnson at 919-918-2170, extension 5. Blue Ribbon thanks WCHL for supporting our program.
750 WCHL with, let's see, what is the temperature right now? It is 43 degrees in Chapel Hill at the moment. And we'll get to the weather in just a moment here. But first of all, the traffic brought to you this morning by the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce. And here is Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. Looking pretty good, though. We're seeing some crowded conditions as you make your way northbound on Fordham Boulevard, approaching Manning Drive to head to 54. 54 east and westbound, seeing some crowded spots as you travel between Barbie Chapel Road and I-40. 40 eastbound also filling up. Expect some full lanes if you're traveling eastbound into RTP from around 751 out to the Durham Freeway. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Call us at 967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
Thanks so much. The Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce invites you to celebrate the successes of our business community at the Chamber's annual meeting presented by the Europa Center, Thursday, January 29th. That is a week from tomorrow at 11 o'clock in the morning. It's going to be a great lunch at the Sheraton Chapel Hill. Tickets are on sale now, $55 for members, $70 for non-members. Register online at carolinachamber.org/annual meeting. Now, your Chapel Hill Carrboro weather is brought to you by the Orange County Visitors Bureau and actually the Orange County Agricultural Summit. We'll tell you about that in just a moment here. 43 degrees, partly sunny, a chance of light rain this morning, just a small chance. Our high today about 58 degrees, a far cry from yesterday's 71. Yesterday was unbelievable. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low about 35, and then tomorrow, partly sunny with a high around 50. Still not bad weather. Orange County Agricultural Summit, the 17th annual Orange County Agricultural Summit will be February 16th, 2 days after Valentine's Day. From 8 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon, a 5-hour event. To register, visit orangecountync.gov. 7:52. Good morning. It is the beginning of a nice day here, and time now to have our daily conversation with Wayne.
Say the word, you'll be free. Woo. Say the word, be like me.
Just say the word, Wayne. That's all you got to do, buddy. What's going on?
Oh, I love it. I love it. Say the word and you'll be free, huh? Yeah. That's a big order, isn't it?
Yeah. Freedom will come your way, buddy.
Well, speaking of freedom, being at home, abroad, wherever you want to find it, here is the word of the day. Expatriate. Expatriate. Ron, you ever thought about living overseas for any... well, let's see. You did live... Where was it? Not North Carolina, Georgia? Where did you live for a while?
Is that overseas?
I have always lived in North Carolina. I have, yes. Lately, the way that politics are in this country, yes, I have thought about it. We'll just let it go with that. But, yeah, I've thought about that. How about you?
I love Nikki's reaction. Is Georgia overseas?
Well, there's one Georgia that is overseas.
There, well,
I know that.
Still?
It's true.
Every time I go to Carrboro, I have to go through customs.
You mean when you fly into Carrboro International Airport?
Yeah, well, that's Chapel Hill's International Airport, Horace Williams International Airport.
The Paris of the Piedmont, etc.
I used to fly in on Andreessen Airlines all the time, but they're no longer in business.
All right, well, here we go. Back to business. EXPATRIATE. 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 It's a noun, and it's all about people who live in foreign countries, either by choice or, I don't know, maybe somebody threw you out of the United States of America.
Hey, Wayne.
Yeah.
I was thinking that was more like a Seattle fan.
I think you're on to something,
yeah,
Nikki.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm just
something.
Throwing that out there.
Well, Ron has been accused of many things. Bicoastalism is one of them, as I understand it.
Bicoastal?
Yeah, bicoastal. Aren't you bicoastal, Ron?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I am.
Your head high, pal. You're from Chapel Hill. You can be bicoastal and not worry about it.
Yeah, I can be anything from Chapel Hill.
All right, expatriate, your word of the day, EXPATRIATE. Mm-hmm. Take it for a little walk, enjoy it, put it back in this little linguistic box, and we'll talk again in the morning.
All right, buddy. Hey, listen, be sure and take along a little plastic bag and clean up after it, too. have a good day, Wayne.
Bye-bye.
Wayne Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
I have no idea.
Sometime next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. If you could do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers. Time now for the clean joke of the day. And time now for Nikki Morse to give it her best shot at being funny.
Thanks, Ron. I think I'm hilarious, but here we go with this.
Yeah, you do. It's a matter of whether anybody else thinks you are.
Very true. Yeah. A 90-year-old man said to his doctor, "I've never felt better. I have an 18-year-old bride. He's going to have my child. What do you think about that?"
This is pretty cool.
The doctor considered his question for a minute and said, "I have an elderly friend. He's a hunter, and he never misses a season. One day he was going out in a bit of a hurry. He accidentally picked up his umbrella instead of his gun. When he got to where he hunts, he saw a duck sitting by the pond. So he raised his umbrella and went bang, bang, and the duck fell dead. What do you think of that?" The 90-year-old man says, "I'd say somebody else shot that duck." The doctor replied, "My point exactly." See, you thought I was funny.
Yeah. Quack, quack. That doctor was no quack. He knew what he was talking about, I think. I love it. That's a good one.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
757 WCHL in the morning. I'm Ron Stutz with Nikki Morse. Good morning.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Reverend Robert Campbell is a community organizer, and during the recent MLK celebrations and events, he was focused on getting people out to get involved. Reverend Campbell says the focus ought to be on our youth.
We'll focus on how to prepare our youth for tomorrow's challenge. We have to help develop and guide our young people in the right direction. How to enter into the environment in which they are living and how diverse that environment is, but at the same time be aware of the difficulties of maneuvering in the environment.
Robert Campbell is today's WCHL hometown hero.
At the end of his great speech, "I had a dream," he gave us direction. Go back into your community. Do something to help motivate your community to help bring forth changes. And that is what we're trying to instill into our young people and those who are concerned about social justice and equality for all people. Once we begin to understand the diversity in which we live in, how to communicate, we can begin to bring forth those changes. It's going to take all of us working together to make sure that we do that. Go back home and do something.
Robert Campbell was one of the organizers of all the Martin Luther King Jr. Day celebrations and events to honor the life and legacy of Dr. King, but he's also well known for his work with the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association. This year, Reverend Campbell continues to focus on positive change.
How do we sit down and have a conversation rather than just a dialogue? A dialogue is when people want to speak to you about how to help you, but have not walked in your shoes and understand what you're going through. A conversation explores both sides of that. So we're engaging in conversation. We are sitting down at the table to help bring forth the changes in the policies that we need, focusing on closing the education gap. We work with the school board and those who make policy for the school boards.
Robert Campbell has worked hard his whole life to bring about change.
We have to cross over those barriers because what affects one neighborhood affects another. And so we are coming out of our neighborhood, we are coming together in social events, having these conversations about how to bring forth these changes. And as we move forward, we'll find out that each one of these conversations bring forth an issue that can be resolved, and how do we can go move forward and go into the chambers where the politicians make those decisions about how resources are used to make sure that these programs are implemented.
He's a true community organizer, and Robert Campbell is today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand.